Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Kawhi and the Clippers were able to hold off Luka Doncic and the Mavs last night in their 118-110 win, thanks to forcing 11 turnovers from Luka despite his 42 points. LA also got some help when Kristaps Porzingis was ejected in the third quarter. Yahoo Sports senior NBA insider and TNT sideline reporter Chris Haynes joining us now from the bubble. Chris, it is so good to have you. I have plenty of bubble questions, but I want to get to what we saw last night from the Clippers. Should they be concerned after barely beating the Mavs without Porzingis late?
Certainly a little bit. I didn't expect that type of performance from the Mavericks, and I didn't expect that from Luka as well. And I know Luka is a young superstar in this game, but he's never been in the playoffs before, and particularly been in the playoffs where he's matched up with two of the most elite perimeter defenders in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, and he was still able to give them 42. And with Kristaps Porzingis being ejected, look, they have to be concerned right now. I think the Clippers, look, if they didn't bring their A game, I think they know right now it's going to take that to get past this young nucleus right here. I think they might have overlooked them or didn't take them seriously enough, being that this is a young team that hasn't been there before. But after watching what Luka is capable of doing, not just those two elite defenders on the perimeter that I mentioned, Patrick Beverley as well. He was able to get to whatever spot he wanted to. And so when you add in Kristaps Porzingis for an entire game, that's just going to add another dynamic. So definitely, I think Clippers should be concerned.
Are we still calling Kawhi elite-level defender? Because he's not the same guy, Chris. He doesn't move with the same fluidity. He doesn't go laterally as well as he once did. Mm-hmm. Those knees are clearly an issue. He's having to pass the buck. Paul, you take him. No, Pat, you take him. No, Marcus, you take him. That's not elite.
He's saving himself for the Lakers.
You see now? Yeah. Anytime somebody gives him the business, he's saving himself. Jason Tatum gave him the business. Well, he saved himself for LeBron. LeBron gave himself. He's worried about the playoffs. We're in the playoffs, and a guy got 42. When you think of the Pantheon great players, then their first game never got 42 against two elite level defenders.
I got to interrupt real quick. Time out. Do you realize what the silent assassin did very quietly last night? He did work. I'm talking about Kawhi Leonard went 29-12, 6 assists, and 3 steals. And Shannon Sharpe did not notice. Go ahead.
I tell you what I did notice. Yep. Hey, Anthony, you got something for me? I want to know, maybe there's some flies in the building because I heard there's a fly thing going around in Florida right now. What's going on right here, Skip? What is that?
What is what?
What is it? Wait, Chris. What is that? Is there a fly flying around in his face?
Yeah.
What is that, Skip Bayless?
29-12, 6-3.
They gonna find him. That's a flop. He's flopping all over the place.
He was the main reason they survived last night. That's all I know.
All I'm saying is this, is that I believe it did him. We'll never know. But I don't believe Porzingis should have got ejected. I don't think that second tech should have been called. I think it's like, okay, guys, break it up. Because they hadn't gotten chippy. There was no reason to figure it was going to get out of hand. But Luka is special. I'm not surprised. Now, I'm surprised he got 42, but I'm not surprised that he had an outstanding game. I thought he'd have something. I think I said yesterday, Skip, I said he'd have something like 29, 8, and 10 or something like that. I didn't see 42. But I think we might need to reevaluate just how elite level those wing defenders are. Because we see guys getting monster numbers that they're not supposed to get if those guys are what we say they are.
By the way, the Dallas Mavericks finished the season with the highest offensive rating in the history of basketball. And by the way, they scored 69 in the first half, and the Clippers came out after halftime and said, watch this.
Yeah.
And they started to defend because the Dallas Mavericks scored 41 in the whole second half.
Fitzgerald had something to do with that.
Dallas had 36% shooting in the second half. They went 3 of 22 from 3. That's 17% because they started to get locked up. I told you earlier in the show, you were right. If Porzingis stays eligible for the rest of the game, I believe the Mavericks would have won that game. But I told you going in, this is going to be the Clippers' toughest series. Tougher than Denver next. Tougher than the Lakers next. Because the Clippers have not played enough basketball together. Last night was their 13th full roster game out of 73 games they played this year. And all of a sudden, they're throwing Montrezl Harrell onto the floor for 15 minutes of a game in which he was playing the first time since March the 10th. He played no bubble games, no three scrimmages, no eight regular season restart games. And all of a sudden, you're playing in 15 minutes. It looked like he'd never played basketball before. What do you want from them?
Hey, Chris Haynes, can I ask you a question? Do you need to practice? I mean, Deion Sanders never came to the huddle. He just knew he had that guy. Kawhi, you got Luka. Paul George, you got Luka. What you need to practice that? Mm. That's your man. Stay in front of it. Mm. And Luka lived at the rim. He at the rim just getting tee. Hey, I like, Luka, you were just here getting take out. He like, I'm back again. But, they can't keep me out.
Time out. What did Chris Haynes just try to explain to you? For a while, the Clippers did not take the Mavericks seriously. But after the opening salvo. But what happened to start the game? What happened? 18-2 happened. It looked like they blew him off the floor, right, and it was over. And what did your man Luka do? Would you tell me?
Five turnovers in the first five minutes. He was anxious.
And then all of a sudden, the Clippers said, well, we already beat him three times in the regular season. We're 3-0. So let's take our foot completely off the gas. They gave up a 48-14 run over the next quarter time of minutes. 48-14, that's 34 Luka. Points. What are you doing?
Oh,
they just
bird.
Stopped playing.
Oh, baby bird happened. Yeah. That's what they call him down in the bubble, ain't it? Baby bird.
I'll say this. I think the Clippers are going to be much more physical with Luka. You know how boxing, it's that filling out round. That was round one. Filling out each other, trying to see if nerves, if jitters is going to get in the way of Luka and Porzingis. Now they see that, that's not an issue. Like those important playoff type games he played over there in Europe, like he's used to this. Right. So he's not going to be nervous or you know, scared of the moment. So they see that. Now it's about taking the head off, getting physical with him. Obviously, if you limit Luka, you're going to limit everybody else that's on the floor.
Mm. So what I saw at the end of the game, we saw Luka walking up the ramps to the locker room, and he looked like a battered old man because they had been very physical with him all night long. He had gotten to the lane again and again. It shocked me because he took advantage of all three wing defenders, including Marcus Morris, who did the best job on him, but they took their pound of flesh. I agree they will get even more physical next time. Patrick Beverley takes them some. It just wears even a young man down and finally out. Even though this series is going to go a ways, I think Luka is going to be beat up and worn out when it's over.
Hey, Skip, no, but nobody likes walking up a hill after a game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't do that often. So if Luka
was walking like that at 21 up, what Kawhi looking like with them rickety knees? And you saw him slipping around in those orthopedics. He stayed slipping. Porzingis crossed him up. Oh, everybody crossed him up. You saw it, Chris Haynes. You was right there, had an up-close view of it.
Hmm. Trying to ridicule 29, 12, and 6. Wow.
Skip, ain't nobody ridicule that.
Mm.
But the guy that he was guarding had 42.
Mm.
So what am I supposed to do?
Oh, did he guard him the whole time? I think not.
Paul, he done lumped me up. You get some of this. He lumped Paul George up. Mm. Paul said, Pat Bev, take that. Pat Bev had 5 fouls with like 2 minutes in the game.
Mm.
And then guess what? He said, Marcus Morris, come on, you can get something too.
Mm.
Gave it to all of them. I ain't never seen a man do 4 men like that. He beat 4 men by himself.
I know for a fact that Kawhi Leonard watches this show, and I hope he's watching right now because he's going to remember what LeSean Sharp just said.
This is what we know. Mm-hmm. If they can't keep Luka Doncic from the rim, man, LeBron James about to look like Derrick Henry coming downhill.
Really?
Yeah.
If he ever decides to.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
You worry about your team.
Mm.
No mercy.
The Lakers might be the one seed, but their path to title will be no easy journey when it begins tonight against the Blazers. According to LeBron, Portland is not your typical 8 seed thanks to the two-headed monster of Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. Lillard is averaging 44 points in his last 5 heading into tonight. Chris Haynes still with us this morning on Undisputed. Chris, who wins this series and how many?
This is a tough one. I'm not trying to cop out. I need to see the first game. I need to see the first game because there's no home court advantage, and that kind of defeats the purpose of a 1-8 or just having that advantage after all. But look, I will say this. I think this series is going the distance. I think this series is going a distance. And I'll be able to get a better feel of the series after game one. But look, I'm going to tell you this. I've said this time and time and again, even leading up to the restart. I said if the Blazers were able to get into the restart and have a legitimate path of getting to the playoffs, I said I felt really good about their chances. And I went beyond that and said that they had the potential to go the distance in this playoffs. They've done that. Dame Lillard stepped it up. Look, during the hiatus, Dame was sending me like video of him working out, showing that he was still in a groove. Like he was like seriously, really seriously about getting back into the season and wanting to prove that the Blazers were worthy of not just making a run, but making a deep run. And so he's been salivating over this moment, and it's finally here. And the Lakers aren't playing well. I talked to LeBron James yesterday. I asked him, are you concerned about how you are guys are going into the playoffs? He said, no, they feel like they can, smooth things out. But he did say this, that the Blazers are not your typical eighth seed. So I got to see how game one plays out before deciding, what this is going to be. But I think this is going to distance, game seven.
I got the Lakers in six. Dame Lillard's going to be special. He's going to average somewhere between 35 and 40 points a night. And I believe he'll win them two games. But I just believe the two-headed monster of the Lakers will be too much. The Portland game, their offense is their defense. They average giving up 123 points a game. And if they give up 123 points a game to some also-rans, Memphis, I believe the Lakers should be able to get that in their sleep. The question is, are the Lakers still going to be shooting 10% from the three-point line? Because they've been abysmal from the three-point line. And it gets frustrating because they double-team AD. AD passes out of double-team, and guys are missing wide-open threes. Kuz has been inserted, I believe, into the starting lineup. So we're going to see. But I believe the Lakers win this series in six games. Dame Lillard is going to be special. You're going to have to get the ball out of his hands in crunch situation and make CJ, make Gary Trent Jr., make Melo. Because I already know what Dame can do. I don't need to see anything else from Dame. Dame don't need to show me anything else. He convinced me. Well, he convinced me years ago. But he's really won me over the last year and a half. And what I've seen from him over the last three games and what I've seen from him since this restart, yeah, Dame has made me a believer. So you got to make sure you take the ball out of his hand. If Melo, if CJ can make those shots, Gary Trent Jr. can consistently make those shots, you live with that. But I'm not letting Dame Lillard beat me. But I got the Lakers in six.
Mm. So Chris Haynes, nobody knows the Portland Trailblazers any better than you do. I don't see how Portland can win one game against the Lakers because Portland struggled down the stretch to win every game. They did win and win and win. But they barely overcame Brooklyn, obviously, and then they barely overcame Memphis. So knowing the team the way you know them, convince me, show me what specifically has to happen for this to, as you say, go to seven games with the Blazers having a chance to knock off the Lakers in game seven.
Well, I'll say this. Skip, you're saying as if the Lakers are playing the way they played before the hiatus. I'm looking at the matchup. I'm looking at how they've been struggling, how they have yet to find an identity, how they're still trying to work certain guys into the mold, and Rajon Rondo was back. I don't know if he'll be available for game one, but at some point, they got to work him back into the fold. So the Blazers are not coming into it and facing a team that has it all together. Matter of fact, you could argue that they're probably the worst performing team, offensively-wise, in this restart. Mm-hmm. And so then if you look at Portland, they've been in playoff mode ever since they got here. They had to win virtually every single game. They went 6-2, and that snuck them into the play-in game. And so I'm looking at a team that is already playoff ready. Damian Lillard is the bubble MVP, right? And then you're looking at a team that you're thinking and you're hoping that they just click it on just like that. That's hard to do. So just for those elements alone, that's why I say Portland has a legitimate shot. And I said this before the Lakers came out here and struggled. I said this before the restart, that if Blazers got in, that they would be a serious threat because the Blazers, for most part, are healthy. And I still think that holds true.
Okay. The reason I couldn't condemn the Lakers' performance in the bubble is they came in with a 5.5-game lead over the Clippers, and it was almost a foregone conclusion they were going to be the one seed. They showed me a lot against the Clippers in the opener of the restart. They showed me a whole lot in dismantling Utah because it was a joke what Anthony Davis did to Rudy Gobert. So I'm not ready to say, oh, they just haven't. They've lost it in the bubble. I don't think they've lost it at all. It's going to come down to me, too. There's no Avery Bradley. So you've lost a premier perimeter defender on either Dame or CJ. As I've said many times on this show, my biggest disappointment in Dame and CJ was last year in the conference finals against Golden State without Kevin Durant. They had four straight cracks at Golden State, close games going to the fourth quarter, and Dame and CJ, by their lofty standards, really struggled. In fact, both of them, by their standards, they stunk in those four fourth quarters and one overtime at the end of game four. That cannot happen against the Lakers. I could see them in the first four games of this series having chances going to the fourth quarter to close the deal. Well, one or the other, Dame or CJ, you better close it with no Avery Bradley. Maybe no Rondo to even bother you a little bit on the perimeter. You should have your way. And if you are those guys, if you're capable of rising and shining in this spotlight, in that bubble against the number one seed, then you should do what Shannon said. You should at least win two games. Maybe you should do what Chris Haynes is suggesting and win three games and make it a game seven win or go home game. Because you're both good enough to do that. You just haven't done it at the highest level in your career yet. This is your opportunity to do that.
To that, I will say this, Skip, is that you mentioned the players that are not here. You mentioned Avery Bradley and Rondo. Shouldn't that bode well for Dame and CJ?
Yeah, it should. It should be big advantage for both of them. Yep, I agree.
But, Skip, I will say this. The way teams are starting to trap Dame, now I'm not talking about trap him after he passes half court. They're trapping him before he reaches half court. And so that philosophy right there, that game plan right there, is trying to make sure that other guys beat him. And so it's going to be – so the onus is going to be on the C.J. McCollum, Carmelo Anthony, Gary Trent Jr. to hit big shots because Dame trusts his players. But I will say this. Dame has learned because New Orleans Pelicans, a few years ago, they were the first team to implement this trapping of Dame. Yeah. And Dame has learned, as you've seen in that Brooklyn game, he was even attacking the doubles. Like, he saw the double coming. He was like, nah, I'm splitting this. No, I'm turning the corner.
You
like,
can do
so
it.
And that's one of the reasons why, guys, he started shooting from the logo. Because he's seeing this pressure coming already. He was like, forget it. You're not taking me out of the game. I'm shooting from deep. I'm shooting back here with regularity. And so it's going to be a little bit harder to stop him with those traps. But that's one advantage the Lakers are going to have. They're going to be able to try to get the ball out of his hand.
Yeah, but it's hard to trap him in the middle of the court. You got to pin him in a corner. And their bigs are going to have to show. This, you know, the bigs are you worried about just flashing and worried about Nurkic or Whiteside rolling to the rim. You're going to, Dwight Howard and whomever's in the pick and roll, you're going to have to come all the way out. You're going to end up having to guard Dame because you can't let him see daylight. He sees daylight, he's going to rise up and shoot the ball. And Skip, you mentioned last year the failure that he had. I believe that's the motivating factor because he knows in the back of his mind he has some opportunities. Because do you know what that would have meant if they could have taken down Golden State even without KD? Because even without KD, that's still a 73-9 team from the year before. And get to the NBA in the finals, that would have bode well for Dame's career. I don't believe he's forgotten that. I believe that's the motivating factor for what we've seen thus far in the seeding games. And I don't think it's going to let up. I believe Dame, like I said, I believe he's going to average somewhere between 35 and 40. The question is, can he overcome LeBron and AD? They're going to need to average about 60, pretty close to 60 points
so
between the two of them.
Let's flip it around.
Yes.
Who guards LeBron James? I believe in stretches, it needs to be Carmelo Anthony. And just, I'm going to throw this out because it amused me yesterday. LeBron did go out of his way to tell the I saved Melo from drowning story. Remember that one?
Yeah.
And it's real and it's great and way to go, LeBron. I think he saved his life. But he wanted Melo to know, I saved your life. You gotta take it easy on me because you owe me. But I do think Melo needs to guard LeBron some because he's big enough and strong enough and savvy enough to do it. What do you think, Chris Haynes? Can he guard him?
Well, can he guard him? I mean, yes, he could get in front of him. Yeah, I mean, look, Portland doesn't have many options. You know, Zach Collins is going to be out. He's somebody who on pick and rolls can step out and kind of guard some perimeter guys, but he's going to be out game one. It's Carmelo and it's Gary Trent Jr. And so when you look at Carmelo, LeBron obviously has a speed advantage. Look at Gary Trent. He obviously has a height advantage and a weight advantage. So there's not a good formula for success when you're talking about stopping LeBron. I think what the Blazers feel like, they need to try to contain AD. And they're hoping that the struggles he's had in the restart will translate over into the postseason. So Portland has a lot of bigs. And typically, when AD is playing against a lot of bigs, he likes to face up and he starts shooting a lot of jumpers. Mm-hmm. That's what you want from AD. You want him to settle for those jump shots, because once he starts penetrating, getting to the paint, that's when he causes havoc. So it's not, believe me, there is no answer for LeBron James in this series. Just like Dame, he's going to have to allow other guys to kind of bring it.
Pick and roll. We're going to see a lot of that. We didn't see a whole lot of AD and LeBron in the pick and roll. Don't be surprised. You're going to get a heavy dose of that pick and roll tonight. Mm. And you remember what last time what LeBron did to Nurkic? He's just coming back from what LeBron did to him when he was in Cleveland. You know what I'm talking about, Chris Haley.
What do you do, Michelle? What do you do? What do you do, man?
Skip.
He body bagged.
No! Hey,
but he's back from the dead. Goodness. He's back from the dead.
It took him 2 years.
Resurrected.
It took him 2 years.
Yeah.
Uncle Shannon, don't forget about what Nurk has been doing this postseason.
Oh, Nurk has been a monster.
He's been on the tear.
He's been on the tear.
Don't have a solution for him.
Mm. So you know what happens now. Shannon Sharpe needs Dame to have two huge games, but not too huge of games, because he needs LeBron to win in six.
Look, Dame can average 70. As long as the Lakers advance, I don't care. Mm.
Good luck.
No mercy.
Luka Doncic set an NBA record for the most points in a playoff debut with 42 last night. The 21-year-old also had 9 assists and 7 rebounds to go along with a game-high 11 turnovers. His 42 points were not enough, though, to secure the win against the Clippers. So, Shannon, I start with you. Give Luka a letter grade, please.
Skip, I would have given him an A+, but I couldn't give him an A+. Well, not with those 5 turnovers in the first 3 minutes and 11. He was one off the record of 12 set in the game. I think James Harden has the record of 12 in a game. But I think it was nerves. I think he was excited, understanding that this is a very special moment, only in his second year, and here he has already carried a team into the playoffs. He was getting everything he wanted. He got to the basket anytime he wanted, and it seemingly no one could stop him. So I think they're going to try to do next time, Skip, they're going to try to get the ball out of his hands and make other guys beat him like they did, you know, like they tried to do later in the ball game. But 14 of his 21 shots came in the paint. And even when he got into the paint, he was making good passes. Then, for whatever reason, guys just went cold in the second half. But had he not had those 11 turnovers, Skip, this might have been a one of the great performances we could have been talking about. Because I'm not so sure they wouldn't have won that game, because he had some turnovers down the stretch also that hurt this team. So I'm going to give him a B. But he would have got
B?
I'm going to give him a B.
Wow.
I'm going to give him a B.
Wow. All of a sudden, you're the Luka lover.
Oh, baby bird.
Baby bird.
Baby bird. That's what they called him in Dallas.
Huh.
What you going to give him?
That's what you call him.
He the closest thing. Can I get you on record? Is he the closest thing you've seen since Legend?
I can't even put him in the same breath. And I'm about to tell you why. I wrote down A- just because of the turnovers, and you went all the way to a B?
I went to a B. No. Skip,
Lord
11?
Have mercy.
Skip, 11?
I mean, he did score 42 against 3 of the best wing defenders in the history of this league.
Say,
all 3 of them
so
together.
So you say.
So I know. I'm talking about all 3 of them. They're all 6'8"-ish, 6'7", 6'8". They're all physical. They're all grown A men.
Yeah.
They are all wily, tough. Mm-hmm. They are going to take it to you. And by the way, I didn't think he was nervous early. I just think he got attacked the way he rarely gets attacked in this league. They even sicked old little Pat Bev Bulldog on him, right?
And did the pit bull. Did you see him late in the ball game? He cuffed it on Pat Bev.
Yep.
Went to the rack on him.
Yeah, but he also was losing the ball. It was all up in the air and all around because Pat Bev was up into him. And I just think he got attacked by piranhas. They were coming from all angles. Mm-hmm. And it took him about 5 minutes to figure out, I got to play at a different speed tonight. You know, my body language, my RPM, everything has to go up to cope with these guys. And he bounced back. And I've told you from the start, the reason he doesn't belong in the same breath with Larry Bird, Larry Joe Bird, your favorite player growing up.
He was.
Is that he can't shoot. But last night, he figured out how to make 14 out of 15 free throws.
Yep.
So he kept them in the game by making 14 free throws to only 15 total for the whole Clippers team. Of course, Kawhi made 6 of 6 because he always makes 6 of 6. But in this case, Luka can't shoot threes because, I've told you this before, is that for the regular season, he shot 31.6%. That's horrible. He ranked 140th out of 147 three-point shooters. He was near the bottom of the barrel as a three-point shooter, and last night he did make 2 of 6, but he shot one big old air ball.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, my bad, my bad. Well, he shoots a lot of air balls because he's not a very good shooter. And from the free throw line, he shot 75.8%, better than LeBron, but still not very good.
Well, LeBron ain't got nothing to do with it.
Well,
LeBron might have a 40-pointer, but...
Really?
But, Skip, I couldn't give him an A for the simple fact 11 turnovers and they caught the L. Now.
Okay. And, by the way, I'm going to finish on the free throw shooting. He ranked 85th of 118 free throw shooters, which is horrible.
Skip, 75% ain't bad?
Look, Larry Bird could shoot the lights out.
Yeah, well, Larry was a high 80s.
He was 90. He had a couple of years where he went up plus 90 in free throw shooting. Yeah. And for those who don't know, Larry Bird could shoot it back behind his head at 6'9". It was unblockable.
Oh, you're special.
He couldn't leap. He couldn't rise up. But
that's the thing, though, Skip. Larry was Larry averaged double digits for his career, and he wasn't taking no balls off the rim. He was a below-the-rim rebounder. Yep. And he wasn't fleet of foot, just like Luka.
Okay.
The difference is he's one of the all-time great shooters, not only from distance, but mid-range. He could get to the – you're like – How y'all let Larry Bird get to the rim?
Mm.
He ain't even moving that fast. The next thing you know, he laid it up on one side or coming up on the other.
But he tricked you. He just outwitted you and out-quicked you mentally where he was a step ahead.
Right.
And he would get up and lay it up off the glass or reverse lay it up. You say, how did he pull off? Well, he's a big man. He's 6'9 and probably weighed 230.
Do you think he was that heavy?
I do. He got heavier as time went on.
Yeah, he did. That back, he wouldn't allow him to work out.
Okay.
But Skip, you know, his mid-range game, you know, everybody talking about when Joe, I mean, he would pump fake it like, oh, you look at, and next thing you know, he's swished
up
it.
And he's done swished it. I agree. So Luka has none of the above.
No, he
has no mid-range. He has no jump shot to speak of. There's none. He has no real dependable three-point shot. I still don't trust him at the free throw line, but last night that was really good. That's the best I've ever seen him shoot free throws, and he was shooting them with a little more conviction than
usual. Skip, you do realize now he has 2 more years before he is at the age in which Larry entered the NBA.
Yep.
So give him 2 more years and let's see where he is, and then we'll revisit this conversation again and say, hey, you still, you know, you looking like baby.
Okay. So did anybody ever say the book on Larry Bird is we got to rough him up, beat him up, and knock him off his game? Nobody ever says that about Larry Bird because he was cold-blooded when he stepped on the floor.
Skip.
He's the one who's beating you up.
Skip, this was 80s basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And the white guys that played back then, they were tough. They would fight you.
Yep.
Larry would fight you. Bill and Bear would fight you. Mm-hmm. Those guys would fight. It's not like that now, Skip. You remember Larry Bird? Bill Laimbeer kept fouling Bird hard. He fouled him, and Bird just beat him on the floor.
He's going to swing
on
him.
Yes!
Yeah.
Dr. J. He fought?
Swung on him.
Who fought the Doc? Nobody. You ain't supposed to fight Doc. Bird
will fight.
Yes.
Yep. He'd so fight anybody.
Luka ain't wired like that, Skip.
Okay. Remember, Larry Bird at Indiana State, when they won the regional final to get to the Final Four,
an
Indiana State fan ran onto the floor at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Just they were going to mob him.
Yeah.
He turned around and decked the kid. Decked to one of his own fans wearing his own colors, just decked him.
Well, you remember they beat the Lakers in a game 7, and the fans are running on the court. And you see how he's shoving people, get off me, and he's trying to get up out of there. He was wired different. But, Skip, as far as his skill set and the things that he can do, there have been very few players that come in the league this young can do what this young man can do.
Okay, so the book on this kid is we're going after him.
Right.
We're going to get physical. we're going to knock him off his out of his comfort zone.
Right.
And they did that early, and that's the first time in his still very young career
right.
I saw him fight back.
Right.
Not fist fight back,
right.
but he fought back. He said, okay, watch this. I'm going to take you guys into the lane, and I'm not going to out-physical you in the lane. I'm just going to use my genius, and he has lane genius about him because right. he's a passing. Obviously, he's got that gift. And
right.
it only comes like once a generation yeah. where you have that gift
he's got
of
it.
Seeing it, feeling it, passing it.
Before it happens.
Yes, before it happens. He also is a below-the-rim rebounder with a Rodman-esque gift where he sees the carom before it happens.
Right.
Like, oh, I'll be over here
right.
because I can't out-jump you, but I can screen you, and I'll just use my body,
right.
and it's going to fall right into my lap.
Correct.
Okay? It's the same way with his lane shots. He drives in. And you think you have him stopped cold, and then all of a sudden he's Euro-stepping around you and laying up maybe just barely over the rim or right. off the glass. He's not going to dunk on you. He doesn't dunk
no,
on anybody.
He's, not, anybody.
He's not going to embarrass you above the rim,
right.
but he will embarrass you below
right.
the rim because you think you got him. Kawhi thought he had him at one point last night,
right.
jump-stopped on him and thought he was dead, but he hadn't picked up his dribble yet. And the next thing Kawhi knew, he was passing.
Yeah. It's good, but the difference is that He's European, and he plays, and they play a finesse style of game. Larry grew up, remember, he said, I used to go play with the brothers on in the pickup in the blacktop games.
Yep.
It was physical out there.
Mm-hmm.
So he grew up in a physical game. So when he got to the NBA, and you remember in the 80s, it was all-time physical.
Yep.
Skip,
mm-hmm.
And David Stern's like, man, we got to clean this up. This
yep.
thing is getting out of hand.
I agree.
And so he grew up playing a physical style. But Luka's understanding, in order for me to reach my maximum potential,
mm-hmm.
I gotta tear that book up. Because the book out right now is get physical with me.
That is correct.
And then I'll turn it down. And no, I gotta turn it up, not turn it down.
Luka has the genius to understand that in the lane, you can win slow.
Yes.
You can play at a slower speed as long as it gets, it's an awkward speed to
right.
try to defend because
right.
people aren't used to it. You're moving at a pace and a rate and in ways that nobody's anticipating.
Right.
And it's like, how did you do that?
Skip, looks like Manu.
Yeah.
Manu Ginobili have Derrick Rose and Russ quickness.
Yeah.
But somehow.
Listen, Manu, when he was a kid, he could jump, though.
That,
he could leap
yeah, oh,
and he
yeah.
could slam
oh, yeah, he,
on
yeah, yeah, he, yeah. He would definitely flush
yeah.
on you. But that Euro step, Skip, he could.
It's like what? It's awkward.
That?
It's like, you can't do that.
Exactly.
What are you doing?
Because you stand there and then he fakes it. And then next thing you know, he steps to the side, and then James Harden is just taking it to a whole different level. I mean, I don't know how he does it. He and Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
And so now Giannis, you're getting guys that are more athletic than Ginobili doing the Euro step. You
mm-hmm.
get Giannis that 7 foot tall, Skip. He's taking three steps from half court, and he's at the rim.
Yep. I never thought this kid could score that many points in the paint against those three
no.
or four defenders.
I didn't think they would let him get in the paint.
I didn't think so either. I would agree. And I think they will take it up one more level
right.
to keep him out. I don't think, because I think the Clippers are too proud, that they will try to take the ball out of his hands. I think they're a proud bunch to where Doc will say, I've got multiple defenders, and I'm not going to use two of them. We're going to play you straight up, but you're going to see four different faces during
right.
the game, maybe five faces.
Well, for me, Skip, I'm just going to make somebody look. I'm trying to win. I'm trying to advance, and I'm trying to do this as quick as possible. So if that means letting Tim Hardaway or Finney Smith or Kleber or Seth Curry, let them have – because I know this kid, Skip, he was like a top five scorer. He's a top rebounder, top assist guy. So I know what he's capable of doing.
Yep.
He might be first team all NBA. So, no, I'm going to let some of you other guys see what you guys can do because I know what he can do. He just went and got 42-9.
Yep. And I have had issues with Luka because I see him defend nobody.
Yep.
But at least last night, and that's why I give him an A-, he did have three steals.
Mm-hmm.
So he that's Bird-esque if I can
yes.
because – Larry Bird could really disrupt on defense
mm-hmm.
because he would use his genius to anticipate
right.
when you're going to pass it and I'm going to get a hand on
yep.
it.
Yep. So I pretty soon, yeah, I see you warming up to old Luka. Pretty soon.
I'm trying to give him credit, except he can't shoot a lick, and so don't bring me baby Bird.
He going to get better.
Yeah.
He get better. Like I said, he got two more years before he's at the age in which Larry came to the NBA. So give him 2 years. We'll revisit this in 2 years.
Okay, well, after he got his body and his psyche battered by the Clippers last night, let's see how he bounces back tomorrow night.
He might drop 50 on
him. Really? Well, if it's in an L, I'll be good.
Yeah.
That's all we care about.
No mercy.
Saturday on Fox, don't miss the championship fight between two-time former world title holder Sean Porter and Germany's undefeated Sebastian Formella in his U.S. debut. The championship bout begins 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Donovan Mitchell did everything he could last night in Utah's overtime loss to the Denver Nuggets. His 57-point game ranks as the third most all-time in NBA playoff history behind only Elgin Baylor and Michael Jordan. Mitchell did make a costly mistake when he was called for an 8-second violation up 4 with under 2 minutes left that allowed Denver back in the game. So, Shannon, what was your biggest takeaway from this one?
It was a historic performance, Skip. I did not see this coming, and I saw him get it going early, but I didn't think. I said, okay, he get high 30s, maybe 40. Skip, I didn't see 57. Mm. And I've seen a lot of great playoff performances. But, Skip, this is unbelievable what this kid was doing. Mm. I mean, he was attacking the rim. His mid-range game, he was shooting the three. He was perfect from the free throw line. But it was his costly mistake. Skip, they're up 4 points. They're up 4 with a chance to go up 6.
Yep.
He gets that violation, and the Nuggets come right back and drill a three. And now what could have been a 6-point lead is all of a sudden a 1-point lead. Mm-hmm. And they really never got momentum back into the ball game. And the only thing that and Jamal Murray was equally as hot as Donovan Mitchell. But the difference was Jamal Murray had his guys to come along with him. In the fourth quarter, Donovan had 22. He had another 6 in overtime. So that's 28 points in the fourth quarter in overtime. None of his other teammates had more than 4 points. Where you had Murray go hot, and then you get Jokic doing mm-hmm. what he does. Jeremy Grant was unbelievable down yep. the stretch. Mm-hmm. But, Skip, Donovan Mitchell performance, Skip, that's one for the ages. That's the most points ever in a playoff loss. Mm. A top LeBron's. Remember, LeBron had 51 in a playoff loss last year, Skip. I don't even know what to say. You know, when LeBron said that, you know, the NBA is in great hands with these young guys, Skip, these guys are doing it. I mean, 57, you know, 57 from this guy. Mm. And then you get Doncic go for 42. And you get Tatum, the youngest Celtic ever with a 30-10 game. Yep. And when you talk about the youngest Celtic, think about the Celtics. You go, all those legends that they got. And this True. Kid. So, this was a great performance, and I was like, and normally you, Utah, you're like, man, they boring. But you couldn't move, Skip. Mm-hmm. He had you captivated.
Yep. Which brings me to my bottom line. I would like to thank both of these young men for putting on one of the greatest shows of clutch shooting yeah. down the stretch for the last 6.5 minutes of that game as I have ever witnessed mano a mano.
Yep.
Back and forth. Can you top this? Yes, I can. Can you top that? Yes, I will. And it was a privilege. It was an honor to watch it. And it was the most fun I've had watching sports in about 6 months. Mm-hmm. It might qualify as some of the most fun I've had watching NBA basketball in my life. And I've watched a whole lot of NBA basketball because these two young men said, no, 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 no. And if we could see the tape, I just had them pull the tape of the last 9 shots made, the first couple or maybe a couple are from Donovan, but you can just see what starts happening here. It's Donovan. He tacks the rim. Okay, he scores the first. That's at 6:29 left. And here comes Donovan again, and he just pulls up right in the face of the defender, and kaboom.
He's feeling it.
Yep, he is feeling it. Now it's Jamal Murray's turn, and he pulls up and goes up and under 18 feet, and he makes it. Now we go back to Donovan Mitchell from 3. That's getting crazy hot right there. Yep. And here we go with another attack the rim from Donovan Mitchell. Woo, woo, woo. He's got lots of games.
I did not see this at Louisville. Yep.
And here we go. Jamal Murray says, no, it's my turn. That's 1:39 left to cut it to 1. And now he's going to tie the game with a
ridiculous
step back. That tied it at 1:25. And here he goes with another step back. Look at this. Woo, on a string. And that put them up 2. And then Donovan Mitchell tied it again with that.
With his step bomb. Back.
Oh, God. That was a showcase of shootout. And here's what I was left with. Remember, Donovan Mitchell is 6'1" tall. So he's not a giant.
Right.
Jamal is taller. He's listed at 6'4". He doesn't play that tall. He looks like he's more 6'2", but right. He is 6'4". Okay, so that brings us back to tonight's game. And you know my issues with Damian Lillard. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go back into this one last time ahead of tonight because we've seen Dame just go crazy hot for long stretches. Mm-hmm. And he's, you say he has completely convinced you. We've seen 61 and 51 and what else?
42 and 12.
Whew. We've seen that, but we haven't seen what I just showed you. We haven't seen him close a deal the way Jamal did. Remember, that game went to overtime.
Right.
And remember, Jamal scored 18 of his 36 points in the last 139 of regulation and in overtime.
Right.
That's 18 points and 139 plus five more minutes. Mm-hmm. It was 8 points in the last 139 and then 10 mm-hmm. in overtime. That's half of his 36 right. came late. Well, he just closed the deal. And again, you mentioned he gets some help from teammates, but mostly he was just saying, right. no, I got this.
Yeah, couldn't get any stops, Skip. They allowed him to shoot 67% from the three in the fourth quarter, 60% from the field. You got to get some stops.
Okay, so here's my issue to sum it up one last time ahead of tonight's game with Dame. This is his greatest opportunity to show he can close deals because, remember, he's gotten swept out of the last two playoffs, 2018 against New Orleans. He got swept, and he was not good in four straight fourth quarters of those games. Then last year we talked and talked. I've talked it to death. I'm beating the dead horse. But against Golden State without Kevin Durant, four straight close games going to the fourth quarter, he didn't do Dame stuff. He didn't do what you say. He didn't do superstar. He didn't do life changer, where he just says, I'm that guy now. I have arrived, and I got you, Steph, and I got you, Clay. Watch this. CJ was equally bad. Maybe you could argue CJ was even worse in those four fourth quarters and one overtime, which brings me to the bubble. As many points as he scored in stretches against Boston down the stretch, he disappeared. Against the Clippers down the stretch, we know what happened. He had the two free throws he missed, and that was against Clippers backups, and he missed the three to tie the game, and they lost to a ragamuffin Clipper team at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. And then we saw in the last two games that we saw him play against Brooklyn and then Memphis over the, 19 minutes and 12 seconds that he's played in the two fourth quarters, he hasn't scored a basket. Well, I just showed you Jamal. And Donovan and Jamal. Well, the guy that was proclaimed the MVP of the bubble, he's gone 19 minutes and 12 seconds of fourth quarters without he scored points from the free throw line,
right.
but not field goals. He's made no shots like any of those ones you just saw. So I sat back at the end of that game yesterday and I thought, I just want to see that one time from Damian where he does that to somebody. He just says what Donovan was saying. I got this.
Well, you see what happens, though, Skip. At some point in time, if you cool off and Donovan cooled off in overtime, he didn't have anybody to bring him along. Mm-hmm. Well, if Donovan doesn't do that, they're not even doesn't get to overtime.
But
Dame, Skip, he got 61. He had a 51. Mm-hmm. He had a 42-12.
Okay. All right, but I haven't seen him one time close a game the way those two young men were closing.
Oh,
yesterday.
You saw that against the Lakers. When he dropped that 48 on him. Yeah, he closed it.
Well, that was Kobe's eulogy night from LeBron.
Yes, he closed that. He hit those bomb threes.
Okay. I think they won pretty handily that night, as I recall.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it was close, and then he hit a three. I think they were up three, and then he hit a three.
Well, you can argue the Lakers' minds were elsewhere, right?
Well, they even put it elsewhere.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying.
Well, I hope he doesn't close. I hope he doesn't close tonight.
Well, I know you have mixed emotions, but this, to me, I don't have your mixed emotions. I just want to see Damian Lillard rise up at the end of a close
game. Why do you want to see that now?
Well, because it's time. Because I haven't seen it before in a playoff game.
No.
I haven't seen it.
You want him to rise up and to knock the Lakers out.
No, I don't. I really don't want to see the Lakers knocked out for our sake, our show's sake. I want to see the Lakers and the Clippers. But I would love to see Damian Lillard just say, watch this. It would be great I haven't seen it before.
I've seen him. Ask Paul George. He said, Paul George, watch this from 37 feet away.
Okay.
Boom. He said, James Harden, watch this from 32 feet away. Boom. Game ending, series clinching, threes. Is that not closing?
Okay. That was in a first-round playoff matchup, right?
Yeah, what the hell is this about to happen?
All right. Well, this is 1 versus 8. He gets to play 1, And nobody saw this coming, and now everybody sees it coming because Charles Barkley, we used a clip from him early in the show, right. He is predicting Portland. Greg Anthony is predicting Portland. The odds makers are saying that it's a runaway train and that people are enthralled is the word. They are enthralled betting on Portland.
If you pick Portland and they win, you see, I told you they was going to beat the Lakers. You pick Portland, they lose. They were supposed to lose. They were the 8th seed. The Lakers were the 1 seed. You see, as I'm telling you, it's like the lottery. I play the lottery. I just have to be right once.
Okay.
And then everything else is all forgotten.
Okay, but the point is, I think people truly believe that Portland has a real shot of winning this series.
Of course.
We had Chris Haynes on. He knows Portland inside and out. He's close with Dame. He knows that they believe they can beat the Lakers right here, right now.
I do not believe they're a better team, and I believe the better team, barring injury, the better team will always win a series.
Mm-hmm.
Barring injury, the better team will win the series because you can get lucky and win one game. It's hard to get lucky and win 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I believe Damian and CJ, I'm not going to leave him out, and I call him CJ as in clutch jumper, I think they're going to have opportunities to come up big and win games. Would you want to be tapping your watch when you're down 0-2 to Dame and CJ? Do you want to be doing it? Dame time? Is that what you want?
You remember my guy
Let's see.
Hold on.
I want to see.
Do you remember my guy was down 3-1 to a unanimous MVP?
Mm.
A guy that was 73-9 that averaged 35-6?
Yep.
And what did he do? What did he do?
You're talking about Steph?
I'm just talking about, I'm saying, my guy being down, I won't count my guy out. Until you win 4. And the horn goes off in that last game.
Yep. Your guy is 3-6 in the NBA Finals. That means 6 times he's lost.
About to be 4-6.
Really? About to be not 4-6 because you're not going to get out of the Western Conference.
Okay. No mercy.